Okay. This is Life Stages. Last week we talked about, I don't know if you got a chance to catch up with that. Okay, all right.
Problems.
It's all right. And that's one of the reasons it's good to have things online. You can catch up when you can.
That's right.
any rate, we talked about, you know, what are some of the interfamily relationships and relationships within the family that count? What are some of the impacts? And this week we're talking about life stages, and it's one of these things that before people step into a marriage, it's good to kind of have perspective on, you know, what am I signing up for? And the fact is, it's a blank check.
It really is.
You don't know.
That's right.
I told Nancy about, there was one seminary professor who lived right near the seminary. It was like across the street or something. And his wife, for basically most of their marriage, was an invalid.
Oh.
And he would go and teach a class and run back over home to take care of the wife because she couldn't move. She was just, you know, on the bed. And so he would be constantly, and just the whole time that they were married, that's where she was.
For decades.
In bed. Yeah, just for decades.
Wow.
I think they were married like 30 years or something. And she was just a couple of times.
Wow.
So it's just, wow.
And by the way, it's very unusual for a man to hang in there and do that. I don't mean to say that as a sexist statement.
No.
But
statistically,
men will bail, women will stay.
Yeah, through those things. But I think just recognizing that life goes through those stages, and the Scripture addresses those, and to take a look at it, what I've done is I've laid it out as here's what's typical, but the reality is there can be exceptions. So the first column you see there is here's under birth. Of course, Scripture has things to say about that. And, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made, and things of that sort. There is, of course, the growing up process, and we'll talk about parenting, you know, as we get on there. But then there's the next kind of milestone is this one who is born and raised is then, you know, married and leaves home. Sometimes that happens sooner, sometimes later. And of course, Scripture has a lot to say about that, and we've talked about some of those. The next stage there is children then out of that marriage are born and then raised. And then the children marry and leave home. And then they get to the stage of assistance from the children. And then death. And of course, we've got some scriptures there. Notice I put lines underneath. Mm-hmm. You could probably put more under a number of those categories, but at least we've got some semblance. Now, that's a typical sequence. How might things be different from the sequence?
Leave home for a time before you're married.
Okay. It might leave home before you're married instead of going directly from home. Okay.
You may have children who never do marry. Or have handicaps that preclude
them. You can have either because of a birth condition or because of something that develops from accident or illness along the way. Maybe some child never gets to the place where they can leave home. So that can happen.
Or death of one spouse.
A death of one spouse suddenly cut the thing short.
Yeah.
Never have children.
Pardon?
Oh, no children?
Yeah, can't have children. Discover.
Or choose not to.
Mm-hmm. Or choose not to. Children marry and leave home, you know, after that might be different. They
may come back.
They get married and come back. We have here assistance from the children. It's possible that a parent may never need the assistance, or maybe, you know, maybe they're really healthy and, you know, sound of mind and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the parent you know, dies young.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's out of the house, but the parent dies young. Or, so there are things that can change the sequence. My oldest brother died of colon cancer when he was in his early 40s. So, you know, that this all gets cut off. He had three kids, you know. So that all gets changed. So I lay this out, and this is a typical sequence, but just a recognition there could be things that change the sequence and when things end quite differently, and that should be kept in mind too. Think of, you know, what's going to happen. Here's this person who's in a home and they're growing up, and what responsibility do they have before the marriage, their own marriage?
Obey the parents.
Yeah, there is for them in that home context an obedience to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that when we have the marriage leave home, there is then a respect. So this all falls under the honor of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, a responsibility for the aging parent.
Mm-hmm.
And even dealing with their death. So honor your father and mother, which is, of course, one of the Ten Commandments. And I don't mean to place law, but just that's how it was recognized early in the Jewish culture. Honor the parents had different meanings at different stages. And this is something that is brought over not as a matter of law, but as a principle under grace, is to honor the parents. So you look at it as the children are under their mother and father obedience, then respect, even for those parents when you're established your own home, you're away from them, respect, and then a responsibility for in their later years. And it could come sooner or later, in their later years and even in dealing with their death. Now, why do we bring this up under marriage? Because what's happening, you say I do. Part of what you're saying I do to is, I am saying I do towards sharing the responsibility with regards to your parents.
Mm. There's kind of an old saying that you don't just marry your spouse, you marry their family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're stepping into a mutual, and like I say, blank check. You don't know quite what this means. I was working in the engineering office, and I had, actually to my surprise, suddenly been called in, and they said, we need your help in accounting. So I became the accounting manager all of a sudden. And it wasn't long after that that Nancy's mom called me, and her husband had just, you know, Nancy's dad had just gone down in the yard, and they, you know, they'd had the paramedics there, and we were to find out that, you know, that was his last day. He had just put the lawnmower away, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know. So, and then suddenly then here's a situation where Nancy's mom needs assistance. Now, did we know about that in advance? No. I mean, even that morning, Nancy's dad didn't know that it was, you know, his last day.
Mm-hmm.
But, so you don't know what you're signing up for. You know, what does this mean? So, when you think of I do, you have all these, you know, gee, it means this and this and this. The reality is there's all kinds of possibilities and contingencies that we're saying I do to that is part of what marriage is. So the one thing is that relationship with parents, and when you get married, it changes it, because before it's just your own parents, right? Now with the marriage, it's both of you with both. So there's a shared, you know, responsibility, shared respect,
mm-hmm.
all those things.
One of the best examples I've ever seen of that is our daughter-in-law's mom and stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
When, just to make it easy, Claire and Linda. Linda's mother was dying of cancer, mm-hmm. and they had her in their home for her last days. And they had hospice services, but they were the primary caretakers. And the night that she died, we were there. And I was able to observe how they cared for her. And the tenderness, the absolute love and tenderness that both of them exhibited to her mm-hmm. was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It was just an honor and a privilege to be there to see that. So, and that was to watch Jessica's stepdad taking care of his mother-in-law in this way was really amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think a real good example of the kind of honor that mm-hmm. Scripture talks about.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you look at it, it is going to mean different things in different situations. On my grandfather and grandmother on my mom's side, my grandmother died first, and my grandfather lived on for another 7 years. And so it was, for my mom, and actually for us grandkids as well, it was the grandfather was the one to care for. So it could be, you know, one, both, the other, and you don't know. You don't know. So it's interesting. Scripture addresses it, but you don't know the magnitude of it. What might this mean? The next kind of continuum we have down below there is the headship in the home. As each of us is born, you got the headship in the home is for both mom and dad being there, the husband and father. It may not be in some cases. Some cases it may be, you know, mom is the one who's in charge of the home, raising the kids.
Are you speaking of a single parent home? Okay.
Right. And it might be, you know, one of various situations. It might even be because of a disability on the part of the husband and father. That's an extreme disability would put the mother as head because of the father's inability to take on that role. Because of accident, disease, things of that sort. So, and there's a number of different scenarios there. But the one that Scripture would point to is the biblical ideal, is that the husband and father is the headship of the home. Then what happens at the wedding, the marriage, is there is a transfer. I walked Becky up the aisle, which took me a while to get used to. Long time. I walked Becky up the aisle, and what was I doing? I was transferring the headship over to Kurt. And that, it was more than just some part of the ceremony. I was saying, Kurt, you're now her head. You know, and that transfer then takes place. Then as children are brought into the home, then you've got, you know, the father has a headship over the children. As children marry and leave home, and there's the transfer to the husband, as I gave the instance here where, all right, Kurt now takes over as the head. There's also, you know, and both of our boys are married, and got four and a half grandkids, you know, with them. And so there is a situation here. They're establishing their own home. They are husband and father. Then you have assistance from the children, even at that stage. There's still the headship in the home. And that can be a real tough one. Mm-hmm. How do I help dad when dad needs help, but he's still the head? Mm-hmm. That can be a tough one. Because there can get to be a point where he can't do it.
Yeah.
Curious. So you got some kind of, we talk about life stages, you've got kind of multiple transfers there, don't you, that go on.
Well, we also, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the Oreo cookie generation.
Oh, yeah.
And it's where you still have children at home, but your parents need help.
Yeah.
And that was where we were at. But your mom, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
Still with kids at home.
Mm-hmm. That's tough. It is real hard because both for sons and daughters, but particularly for daughters, you really feel that squeeze. Mm-hmm. You feel that desire to care for your ailing parent, but you still have this family at home that needs your time and attention as well. And it's a really hard thing. It's very stressful, and I don't think I did so very well. Mm-hmm. Vern finally had to tell me, you need to not go see your mom as much as you have been, because you're going to end up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And that wouldn't have done anybody any good.
Yeah, it's... So it's a, you want to support the assistant at the same time, you know, you need to stay a family too,
right.
You know. So it gets to some tough situations, and it keeps changing.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in a situation now. All three of our kids are married. We got grandkids, and of course there's relationship, you know, there that we don't want to ignore. It turns out both Nancy's folks have gone home to be with the Lord, but my folks are both still around. They're over in, you know, Northern California coast, and my dad will be 81 in May. So you know, they're both around, and yet you're getting a place where they need a little more assistance.
Mm.
As it turns out, my youngest brother is the one who's closest and ends up
bearing the burden
of that assistance,
yeah,
in great part. But so those are all things to be worked out, and you look at the stages. You know, some of the things that have happened, in no way would we guess that, that's the way it's going to happen.
Right.
You wouldn't know. And yet that's how it's turned out. So looking at this, kind of the things to look at in terms of, you know, what am I signing up for when I say I do? Or if you've already said I do.
What
did I say I do to?
Okay.
What did I sign up for? And in reality, if you're looking ahead to the wedding and ahead to this saying of I do, it is helpful from a biblical standpoint to look out there and say, you know, what does Scripture say about these things?
Mm-hmm.
What needs to, you know, be in my mind as I'm saying I do, that I understand it? And to ponder those ahead of time, recognizing those possibilities. And I think a lot of guys, and maybe even gals will do this, well, they'll say, you know, I'm exiting here. And that may be something that they keep in their mind, or may even be some cases they express it. If this happens, I'm out. If this goes on, I'm bailing. But instead, recognizing that the marriage relationship is an embracing of these things, even all the possibilities that go along with it. And then once in the relationship, you know, you find out how things work out, and you find out, you know, what this means or that means. You know, we had an instance. Our son, Randy, he just a little bit beyond 1 year old, had a meningitis infection. And you know, sitting there looking at him in the hospital, it wasn't looking very good. And, you know, the first thing is they told us it's meningitis, and of course that's what my dad's dad died of. So I'm floored. But then the next thing he says, well, you know, there might be some, you know, damage from this, and we don't know what it is, you know, and we don't know how he's seeing us right now, even.
Yeah, there was some major damage. He really doesn't like the sound of a vacuum cleaner. That was it. That was pretty good.
And after that treatment, I didn't care for needles in the hospital.
No, I bet not.
But there are things you don't know. It was possible, and I think the doctors are trying to get us ready for the possibility that you may have a kid that's a special needs kid for the rest of his days.
Right.
So you don't know what you're going to end up signing up for. Mm-hmm. And that even though a kid is born healthy, you may end up with something later on. So all these possibilities are out there. And in the midst of that, recognizing that even honoring parents has a transition character to it, responsibility aspect to it. And it means something from the time you're first born and little all the way to the very end of their life or yours, whichever comes first. The headship in the home is one that goes through transitions. And may go through different stages there in terms of who is head of household. And I put down here husband and father, and circumstances may happen where that gets changed. You know, Nancy's dad went home first. So mom's alone.
And when you are the adult child caring for your elderly parent, if you have siblings, that can lighten the load if the others are willing to share it. And, you know, in my circumstance, my mom lived nearest my younger sister for a large portion of the time, and then she moved up by us. And yet, when mom was at her sickest point, the three of us were really able to share. Our mom was in the hospital, so there was not physical care of her, but we were able to share the load of responsibility for her insurance, her health care, all the expenses, you know, the things that were ongoing. We were able to share that load and distribute it, and it was really good. And as Vern pointed out, right now his younger brother is the one who is, you know, they live right next door, and so they're able to do things when mom and dad need the help. Mm-hmm. And we're three states away, so we don't have the opportunity to do that as much. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, even a part of this means that our vacations get taken up with kind of dealing with this responsibility. So that's a key thing, and it's important just for people, whether they can ideally do so before they step into the marriage, just recognizing this is what it means. Or it may be, and even if you have plenty of prior understanding, you still don't know how it's exactly going to work out. But just a recognition that you're marrying into a joint responsibility, and how do we do this, you know? It can place some extraordinary loads on a family, depending on how this works out. And there's not, you know, the Lord doesn't put a, you know, I'm going to bail clause if it's just, you know, it's in there. But also, you know, how do I be a head of household with my, for example, just Nancy, you know, having a lot of care responsibilities for her mom. Mm-hmm. How do I be a head of household in Nancy's head, knowing that she also has to invest time in caring for her mom? Mm-hmm. So that it can bring some issues to bear in terms of how do we communicate, making communication a priority. You know, something has just changed. Let's talk about it.
Right.
So getting that understanding. Otherwise, it can make some really immense stresses on the marriage relationship if there's not common understanding. Assumptions. Oh, we would handle it this way. We would do this. You know, you ever had the experience, I thought you were, you know, I didn't think that, you know, those kinds of expressions. And what it is we're expressing and getting out here's what our assumptions and thinking was, and what happens, we find some kind of a disconnect, and we're trying to readjust. We're trying to get some understanding there. Those are the kinds of change points where it's going to be, you know, something to deal with. And some of them are going to be, hardly a problem at all. Others of them can be a major, major problem. One of the things that goes along with this, and I don't have it down here, but in any situation, whether it's your own household or any household for which you may have responsibility, is to get the legal documents in place. That's something I highly recommend. First is in your own situation, and this could be applicable to any other that you might need to step into. You need to get something in the way of a will or a trust document, or at a minimum, if you're going to rely on the state succession laws, to have an understanding about how things are going to get distributed.
Understand what the state laws are, you're saying.
Not just that, but also an understanding
within
the family of how things are going to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
It can work out okay without a legal will or trust if everything is handled properly, but you may need it. But even if that document isn't there, you don't want some bunch of crazy squabble over things.
Kids make it tougher too. Once you get kids, you've got to figure out what your wishes are for them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We found that to be an interesting
exercise
to go through.
Mm-hmm.
When we determined our will, figured out who. And that's important to do, but it can be a real head scratcher sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then you're looking at healthcare power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking also at financial power of attorney. In the case of Nancy's mom, we had the documents in place for the health care and financial, and we ended up needing them both. One instance that came up, Nancy's mom went in for an operation. She came back out, but before she was out from under the anesthetic, they said, we got to take her back in. And Nancy having the directive in advance about this, what her mom does and doesn't want to have happen, and having the power of attorney, was able to look at it, make a quick decision.
Where do
she
I
knew
sign?
It exactly.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what her mother would want.
Right.
She signed it, and then we're right back in. If it wasn't for that, it would mean you got to wait till she gets out from underneath the anesthetic and have to do something. And by then, more damage may have occurred.
Mm-hmm. Well, she would have had to have her leg amputated.
Yeah. So, and that's what she didn't want. So Nancy had no question what her mother wanted, and she had the legal ability to just do it, and it was done.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, you need to get that in place, and then a living will, and this is the instance that Nancy's mom passed along is, if I am incapacitated, but something needs to be done, I want this, I don't want that, etc. And Nancy had that clear. So having a will or trust document, or if you don't have those, intestate succession, but still some understanding that so things aren't left in a puzzling or squabble.
Mm-hmm.
And so then healthcare power of attorney, financial power of attorney, and a living will. You want those four things in place. And you need that for the couple, yourself. You need that for anyone else for whom you might have responsibility, aging parents included. In some cases, it may also include other, like aunts, uncles, depending on how the family is structured.
Okay. Healthcare power of attorney, financial power of attorney, living will, and what was it for?
Well, you got a will or trust document or intestate succession with an understanding that you got healthcare, financial power of attorney, and a living will. Okay, so you got those four things to cover, and you need to have that for yourself. You need to have it, for anybody else for whom you might have some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It is really good to have that taken care of and clearly communicated, and if you have the documents in the appropriate people's possession where they know about it.
Yeah.
I got in a situation here 2 years ago where I had been told there was a will and found out that there was none. I'd also been told that I was in the will the executor, which, because the will was never made, I was not.
Oh, wow.
And the attorney who had carried things partway through the process was out of town for weeks. So anyway, this, and it ended up being a major, you know, headache and delay and all kinds of things. And so having those things communicate, having people understand, you know, you understand that this is what you're taking on, and here's the documents.
And by the way, something that we have just observed with the generation above us, And I don't know yet whether that is typical just as you age or if it's typical of that particular generation.
Yeah.
But we have found that they tend to be a little secretive about things. And they don't give you all of the information that you need. And so you're going along working on one premise, one understanding of what the situation is. And then they sort of leak out this next piece of information, and you go, "Oh, okay." And it requires a change of direction or the way you would handle a particular thing. So, again, I don't know if it's typical just of that generation or if it is typical of people as they age.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
You know, so something just to kind of keep in the back of your mind.
There can also be difficulties when there is a need to get something in place, but the person won't recognize it, doesn't want to talk about it. And I've encountered you know, situations here where people will tell me, "I've got this problem with my father, uncle, etc."
Right.
And those can be real tough ones to work through.
Yeah.
And you may even have instances where you can't get it done.
Yeah.
But to the extent that you can, those are the documents that need to be in place. Now, if it's a simple situation, there's, you know, even software, and that's frankly what we used, and it worked fine.
Yeah.
If you've got a more complicated situation, either because it's more financially complex, maybe you've got, you know, siblings that have, you know, tensions between them. I've seen nightmares with that. So you want to take whatever care you need to get the legal advice that you need.
Right.
If things appear complicated, either because the financial situation is complex or because the family situation is complicating, or both. One instance, the engineering firm that I work for, we were called in because there were three sisters who had inherited an incredibly valuable piece of property. But they were constantly squabbling and suing and counter, all three sisters, constantly squabbling and countersuing each other. And going to the courts and the lawyers just nonstop. And finally, the judge says, "I'm sick of seeing you people." And what he did is he appointed an attorney, and he says, "You take care of this. Divide this thing up. I don't want to see these sisters again." You know. And so he appointed an attorney. The attorney brought us in to make a plan, you know, for the engineering side of it and planning side of it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he even go so far as to say, "If you come before me again, I will take it over and I will dispose of this property as I see fit"?
Yeah, that was one of those. He really didn't want to see him again.
Tired of that.
So anyway, then it ended up getting dealt with by that kind of thing. You want to avoid that as much as possible, and one reason for having those documents in place is to avoid the thing where you're going to court.
Yeah.
Like Nancy's mom with the health situation, if that had gone to court, it would have been, you know, her mom would not have gotten her wishes.
What do you think about long-term care insurance?
The long-term care can be very expensive. $3,000 to $5,000 a month is not uncommon. Okay, so I mean, so someone, you know, may have saved away some bucks, and that gets, you know, And so the need for long-term care in some way of dealing with that is real, mm-hmm. and the amounts can be staggering. Mm-hmm. The long-term care insurance approach helps make sure that they'll get some hopefully reasonable care. Right. If you don't have some provision for it, the difficulty is that you start relying on some pretty small funds, and the level of care may not be what you hope for.
I think what I have heard about is that it can be a very good thing.
Yeah.
And,
also isn't cheap.
Yeah.
No, but it's still cheaper than the ongoing care.
I think a few different things. One is people need to look at the possibility of need for it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, maybe you're of a particular stock, but hey, these people always, you know, last a long time and they keep going, keep ticking, you know. In which case it would be money not well spent.
Right.
But not everybody has that
as
a background. And that part of it may be is, you know, how am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, but I think, too, you know, we look at diseases like Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably can't get long-term health care insurance once you already have
kind
of disease.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I know, there's not a really good predeterminate test to see if you're a candidate for that disease. I mean,
there are some you know, prior indicators, but and I think, you know, you've got to take a look at it. You know, what's the likelihood I'm going to need this?
Right.
So you don't endorse it or dismiss it out of hand. You're just depends
on
the situation.
You got to look at it. You got to look at it. I certainly wouldn't want to go either way as always do this or always do that, but you want to take the time to take a look at it. You know, think of it, in biblical times there wasn't any such thing,
right?
And so honoring your parents included that you're going to take care of them.
Yeah.
And people didn't have even, you know, multi-room households, so mom and dad are going to be in here if they're still around,
right?
So, you know, it's certainly a modern complication. On the other hand, caring for an aging parent can be highly stressful in the home.
Mm-hmm.
It can be highly stressful if somebody else is taking care of it.
It's a little different now because the level of care available with modern medicine is not something you know, but it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't provide in the home necessarily, right? But you wouldn't not want them to have access.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right.
Kind of gives it a different spin than it used to have. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I think you should seriously take a look at and see, you know, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make some determination. And Nancy's point's well taken. You know, once you're into the, oh, gee, and now she needs it, you can't buy the insurance.
It.
So it's like with medical insurance. You don't wait till you get an injury or a disease to try to get it.
Right.
You know,
you
need to look at it in advance.
That's right.
It is a way of carrying out this responsibility.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think, too, Gary, your point about the fact that there's so much medical care available these days. There's treatments that can extend a person's life for a really long time, maybe not with the quality of life that person wants.
Right.
And I'm not talking about, you know, supporting euthanasia at all, but going back to advanced directives and healthcare powers of attorney and things, knowing what that person wants. My mom had a do not resuscitate on her chart because she had had bypass surgery, and for that particular surgery, they saw the sternum in half.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they did anyway. Well, it never healed, and so she was afraid somebody would come in, do compression on her chest, and kill her. Doing that, and it just kind of just the thought of it mortified her, and so I knew that she had this DNR, And so I think knowing what that person wants, mm-hmm. you know, if you have cancer, do you want to go through chemo, radiation, mm-hmm. surgeries, and all well, the things?
Well, think of it. We have had a high-profile legal case recently because they didn't know what this particular woman wanted.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
different parts of this complicated family structure mm-hmm. were squabbling, going to court. I mean, the whole thing's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do is resolve what did this person want, and the reality mm-hmm. is you have to end up making some judge's, mm-hmm. you know, decision. It's a hard decision to make.
Right.
And what the person actually wanted is probably indeterminate.
Right.
Can't tell.
They probably never thought about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, as much as possible, being able to get these things down ahead of time, getting preferences down, mm-hmm. thinking things through. It's one of the reasons we talk about the life stages thing is both when you're getting married, recognizing what it could mean, and that's a part of I do. And as you are in the marriage, recognizing that the best thing is talking about it ahead of time if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Some family members may not allow it, but
right.
the best thing is talking about it ahead of time if you can. And getting some understanding, getting some things down on paper mm-hmm. if that's what needs to happen mm-hmm. Mention some instances where it certainly does.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a friend advise me once. My mom was getting older. It was shortly after my dad died. But she was still in relatively good health.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend said, find out now mm-hmm. what she wants before you are in the situation. Find out what she wants. Mm-hmm. Because then there's not a pressure. And it doesn't feel like, gosh, I can't wait to get rid of you.
Right. Yeah.
Because that isn't the point.
Right. Right.
So,
and
it's really...
Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you never know how... I saw when my Nana died, my mom had a couple sisters and one that was a little bit disengaged from the family. And I think she had like a DNR and she had cancer, so she kind of had laid out what she wanted and everything. But you never can predict how someone's going to act when a parent dies and all of a sudden they're saying, well, I want that china, or, you know, and they,
right,
because my mom's one sister, they kind of knew, and she did get a little ugly, and, you know, luckily my Nana had pretty well specified
mm-hmm.
what went to who, you know, just mm-hmm. material things, but,
mm-hmm. right,
you know, it, you just never know how people are going to act. You may all get along great, and then mm-hmm. if it's a tragedy or a long, slow, painful death, you just don't know
mm-hmm.
how they're going to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly.
Well, I think it's tough if there's any, you know, children who have had divorces and have mm-hmm. children with other, you know,
oh,
there's
yeah.
all these branches.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, if that isn't resolved,
yes.
it could be a mess, right?
No.
If it's not
mm-hmm.
clearly.
You want the nativity set, don't you?
All I want is the nativity
set. Kind of a family joke.
Yeah, it's funny, in some instances, you know, you'll run into something that may have been valuable to the person and,
yeah.
and nobody wants it.
Right.
and in other instances where several people are, you know,
fighting
over it, or, you know, and hopefully something more in between.
Yeah.
I'd like this, but if you want it, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just
yeah.
You know, we actually ran into that. I wasn't there when my father's mother died.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of family members there, and that was the good time to divide everything out because
mm-hmm.
people would come from out of town. And they would say, what about this? Does anybody want this? And nobody would say anything, and finally finally somebody would say, well, if nobody else wants it, I'd like it. And, you know, they ended up no arguments
mm-hmm.
over anything.
That's
and that was nice, you know, because mm-hmm. not that my grandmother had all that much, but...
Right.
You know, again, it's those it's the nativity sets.
Yeah.
That have special memory for some reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perspective, you know, before you get into the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Recognizing the range of things that you're signing up for, and that's a part of the I do.
Mm-hmm.
As possibilities. It's a part of the I do.
Yeah.
A marriage may last for decades and decades and decades. My grandparents on my mom's side weren't married until their early 30s. And yet, you know, my grandmother was around until a week after my grandpa's 90th birthday.
Wow.
And so they've been married for a lot of years. My aunt and parents have been married for 60 years now. So, and yet, you know, sometimes it can be a short marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your grandfather was married twice. His first wife died of tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very short marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the next one was for decades and decades.
Right.
So, you know, we don't know exactly what we're signing up for.
Right.
But it's, you know, Paul says, you know, husbands unconditionally love your wife, not love her. No, but here's the X, Y, and Z exit, you know, plan. And so, you know, looking at what's ahead, and then as you're going through it, recognizing that there are these stages, Scripture does address them, mm-hmm. and responsibilities that are there as a contingency.
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility for this and this and this and this and this and this, depending. Depending. And as much as possible, talking about those things ahead of time. If you wait until the situation occurs, sometimes documents you need to have in place, like mm-hmm. the question you asked, insurance policies.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Talking about the insurance policies ahead of that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
Getting issues settled about, you know, pieces of property. It's not uncommon to have things that are non-liquid mm-hmm. be substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that get dealt with? And you can end up with a situation if you haven't thought about it ahead of time where nobody gets what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have to end up selling it to satisfy the parties, you know, getting their portion of it. So those are the key things to pass along here. There's one other thing that we have here is priority of responsibility. And this is important for a few different reasons. But first of all, your own household.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Paul's directive to Timothy, being responsible within your own household. The second one is parents and children, or is direct lineage, is a key responsibility. In other words, obviously, honoring my parents is key. Now, the next one is grandchildren, next in lineage there. And then after that, we've got uncles, aunts, cousins. And then after that is the church. In other words, the church is not to be there to pick everything up and support everything. And so is the church to be there? Yep. But there is a priority of responsibility for caring for these things, these needs, that stands within the family structure to the extent that it's there.
You mean government isn't in there?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. What ends up happening is that as families have fallen into disrepair, if you will,
mm-hmm.
as the church has not stepped up to help, government has increasingly stepped in to take on those roles. But that's not the biblical ideal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the biblical ideal. Ultimately, responsibility within the family, immediate and then extended family, and responsibility with the church is the biblical picture.
So in this priority, the own household, that wouldn't include children since children are on the next. So that's pretty much your spouse.
But what I'm talking about is those within your immediate household.
Okay.
In your instance... in your instance, you've got the two of you, and you've got the boys, right?
Yeah.
So those are the ones in your own household.
I don't think the dog counts.
The dog doesn't count. No.
Yeah, a little tough to. Okay. Bow wow here. You know.
Just saying, parents and then grown.
Yeah, and then parents and yeah. parents and children, direct lineage, and this is when they're out of the household, mm-hmm. in immediate headship. that that responsibility is there. Then grandchildren. Nancy and I have a neighbor across the hall. She's well into her 90s and has no living children. Her husband is gone. So she has no descendants, and she ends up having a niece.
Mm-hmm.
There's a niece that's the one that we've been in contact with on several occasions to help deal with this. And interestingly, we're across the hall neighbors, so we end up kind of stepping in and and helping, including
really
this
on rare
last
occasion,
week. But we've done so even in the last week.
10:30 at night.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know where my home is.
So, you know, you can end up with some pretty complicated situations. But in that instance, it's neat to see this niece recognizing, look, she doesn't have any kids.
Yeah.
She doesn't, you know, there's no husband around. There's no descendants.
Right.
I'm as close as it gets.
Yeah.
And then, so
she takes care of her.
She kind of watches after her and you know, comes and sees her from time to time and makes sure everything's going okay. And so it's just kind of an important thing to look at. What has happened in our culture is a lack of recognition of what the scripture we already have in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so frequently people who should be stepping up to it in the society are not.
Mm-hmm.
And then more and more the government ends up dealing with these things. Not just where there's nobody, but where there's nobody who will step up to it. Then what that does is it reinforces that the government's going to take care of it. And so the sense of responsibility ends up getting more and more lost and diluted. Okay, that's the life stage. Thoughts, questions?
Well, I was going to say, and you may address it in another class, but I mean, Gary and I did our will and everything, and it was kind of weird to think about. Like, I think we did it before Daniel was even born, so we're thinking, well, any other children or whatever. But I think for me, and this is something you guys will probably have to come across, trying to figure out guardianship for your children.
Yes.
That is just horrifying to think about.
Yes, it is.
Do you remember that?
That's what I was saying,
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so difficult. And
You
just don't even want to think about that, but it's so important to have that. I mean, I know when I was in high school, my choir director and his wife got killed in a head-on collision, and their two girls were in the back seat. And actually, one of them lives here in Fort Collins now, but they had... Well, I do think they did have guardianship, but it was someone who lived up in North Dakota, and, you know, the girls had to be uprooted.
Yeah.
So we tried to take that into account, you know. We want someone who lives here so our kids wouldn't have to move. And we want someone who's a Christian. You know, we had plenty of good prospects, but they were not Christian.
Yeah.
And we thought, what do we do?
And
that was
really
tough.
And you want someone that, if it's not a family member, because sometimes you need to step outside your family, you still want your children to grow up knowing their family.
Exactly.
So someone who will make sure that they keep the family contact.
And that's tough.
and this is also something important to revisit from time to time. In other words, you think about it, what circumstances would change, you know,
what
you've got.
Like having a third kid. We're like, ooh, I wonder if Lou and Jane still want to take that. you know, now they've moved. They're in Durango, so it's kind of like... It's a little uprooting, still Colorado, but because we almost, I thought, you know, my best friend would probably be the right person, but then you think, what if we don't become friends anymore? I mean, she and I have an unwritten thing, because her brother is hers, and she said, would you please make sure, it's okay, you know, just make sure that, well, he's a Christian, but she said, just, you know, keep tabs on him. I said, well, hopefully it'll never come to that. But, you know, that's a tough thing, you know, as you have kids to think about, like, what would happen.
And you bring up a good point, too, about the need, you know, because you look at it, you think of your kids, how do I want my kids to turn out?
Mm-hmm.
What responsibility do I have there? Who would I want to pass that along to if I wasn't around?
Right.
And so those are big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, okay, God's priority here is if I'm around, I would do this, and I want that.
Right.
But if I'm not around, who would take that to heart?
Mm-hmm.
Who would I trust
to
be my kid's parents?
And you don't want to burden them with financial responsibility.
Yeah. No.
So you get insurance to make sure they're covered.
And you look at it and you want to supply the financial needs for that.
Right.
And that has to be a part of the thinking. And at the same time, your primary thing is I want somebody who really loves these kids and take their full needs to heart.
Yeah.
To have them if I'm not in the picture.
Right.
And it happens.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Yeah.
It happens. Mm-hmm. You have different circumstances, and you know it's surprising.
Yeah.
You know,
these are difficult conversations and decisions. Whether it's
you
and your spouse planning or sitting down. We've sat down with pretty much all three sets of our parents. And
aren't you the executive? For everybody.
Yeah.
Please keep it simple.
Yeah. I don't know. They're just hard conversations. It's not stuff you want to think about. It's not stuff you want to talk about. It's just,
Nancy and I sat down one time, and because various people said, if something happens to us, will you take care of our kids? We sat down. We would have a major household if that all came to hold
your roof. We're all adults now. We don't have any.
Yeah, we don't have that. But for a while, it'd be like, boy, our place is going to be pouring out kids from the window.
Here's mine and ours.
Yeah. But, those get to be, you know, and things can change. We actually had an instance where we had our kids going to people who eventually the marriage blew up, and so it can be one of those things that you got to do some rethinking, scrambling.
If you have them going to friends and then the family gets offended.
That's one of the issues, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And then asking the people.
But you don't have to deal with it if you're dead.
Well, that's true.
No, you don't, but the rest of them do.
But you do, because the children do. You have to have a conversation with the people you picked as guardians.
Siblings or whatever.
And you do need to go to your
family. And it could easily,
And you bring up another good point. Have a conversation ahead of time. Again, this talking ahead, real tough to do, extremely important. Extremely important. It has happened where people have been named as a, you know, you get this, you get that, and people refuse it.
Yeah.
I don't want to take on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we found that when we asked your aunt and uncle, you know, it was kind of like, no pressure, but would you mind, you know, being the guardian? And it's a huge thing to ask somebody.
It is.
And, of course, you don't want to put them on the spot and they feel like they have to say yes, you know, because it is also kind of an honor to be asked, but it's a huge responsibility.
And it's big. And then the other thing you got to ask is, what if it actually happened?
I think Gary's sister asked us, and then they had three
survive,
girls, and I'm like,
you know?
Brady Bunch. Don't take any danger. You know, don't start skydiving.
Yeah.
How are we going to do that?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember? Yeah, they have three girls now.
Wow.
And even just thinking about for myself, I don't know, do I want a DNR? Do I, you know, what if I have a friend right now who's battling breast cancer, and she's got two little kids and someone at school who you don't know. I think she'll be okay, but don't know. I mean, then it's like, wow, I don't even know what I'd want.
Mm-hmm.
So this is good. There's something to think about.
Yeah, it's just, it's thinking those things ahead of time, and you know, life is constantly thrusting urgencies at us. And the difficulty about this stuff is you need to be talking about it. You need to be thinking about it. You need to keep it ahead of you, not crisis. But so you need to think ahead of it, and yet the urgencies are constantly telling us to put it out of the way.
Back burner.
You know, think about it. What's demanding at the moment, the urgencies that are calling for our attention, are not these things.
The things
that you need to talk about are also difficult things to talk about. I don't like to sit there and talk about, you know, what, Nancy, what happens if you and I die and we've got our kids, you know. That's not easy to talk about. So there are two things just right off the bat that tend to make these hard to get to. And yet, forget the urgency. The importance is great because they are reality.
Yeah.
And we don't get to call the shots on them.
Right.
The reality also is that your parents' planning depends on their level of responsibility. I mean, it would be very hard to convince them to do it if that's not
right.
Their,
you're absolutely right, and that's what I'm saying.
And that's where you take it as far as you can.
Right.
You may be able to get nowhere. On the other hand, you may be able to be a part of the process, and it kind of depends on your own relationship with the people. But as much as possible, to have things thought through ahead of time.
Yeah.
We're grateful that a lot of our folks have been pretty responsible about that. That's wonderful.
It's still morbid to think about. It is a conversation. It is important, though.
Easily swept aside, easily put off. Absolutely essential to keep ahead of it so that you don't end up with the crisis.
That's true.
Things sometimes happen by complete and total surprise.
Usually, you can count on that.
here I am working away. Nancy's at a Bible study. I get the call from her mom. Dad just dropped out in the yard, and don't know what's going on. Did we anticipate it?
Nope.
None whatsoever. No idea.
Yeah.
So you can have things just suddenly thrust upon you, and now we've got to deal with this. As much as possible, thinking about them ahead of time. Very important. As difficult as it is.
Yeah.
And, here's a silly thing, but making sure that people have phone numbers, even as simple as that. And, of course, today's day and age, we have cell phones. Almost everybody has a cell phone.
Right.
But the day that my dad died, I was out at this Bible study. We didn't have cell phones back then.
Right.
And she didn't have a way to get a hold of me.
Mm.
She had Vern's work number.
Mm. Thank goodness.
And otherwise, it would have been several hours before I found out, before they were able to call me. So, just making sure that people have a way to get a hold of you as best you can.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Silly things, but
very important when the crisis is upon you.
Sure.
Thoughts, questions?
Different topic.
Scared now?
A lot of the questions and comments have been really helpful because I think it's one of those things that... you need to be asking those questions. Mm-hmm. You need to be pondering these things, and the opportunity to put it off because of what's right in front of you is real easy. But the urgency, and especially these things are biblical responsibilities. It's not like Vern's coming in and saying, I don't know what the Bible says, but do this because I think it's a good idea. It's something where Scripture I've got some verses and other blank lines. We could put more. Scripture does have a lot to say about it, and does have quite a bit of guidance on this thing. And we need to look to the Lord's guidance and see what would Lord have us do here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this online too?
Not currently, although
we'll post
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we didn't really mention any of the.
We didn't go through the scriptures today.
Right. Yeah. Essentially, the scriptures are numerous. I basically drew from the principles, and you got scriptures there that you can dig into. We've talked about some of them before and studied it explicitly, like the Genesis 2:24 and things like that. Any questions come up or something? Call me if anything I can help. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've provided not only guidance, but also just brought these subjects up so that we can look at things ahead of time and keep in mind that those are there, that it minimizes the... Certainly surprises will happen in life, but minimizes the ghastly crisis that many things can turn into. And we also see it as an opportunity, since you do have things laid out where the very life of Christ can be lived out in the middle of difficult situations. And we also then become a living example for our kids and others that are involved with us too. Thank you for the opportunity that you've laid out in these principles from your word. In Jesus' name.